This is a podcast from policyreview.tv.
Good morning and hello to all those online viewers. I've got three parts to my presentation to you this morning. The first is associated with how the climate change issue connects with other broad systemic problems that the global economy faces, and how it's necessary to make that connection in order to build a space large enough for the capital flow to take place that really will be transformative and will make a significant difference to coping with the risk associated with climate change over the next few decades. The second point is to draw attention to those initiatives that are already underway that give you confidence that over time a marketplace will emerge that is of scale, that will attract many participants, and that can make you feel as if life could get better having solved the problem. And the third section is specifically to refer to an initiative in this country, which we call the Green Investment Bank, but that carries the hopes that we might build institutional capacity in many parts of the world to accelerate the deployment of capital into the areas where it is required to meet the overt public interest in reducing greenhouse gas emissions. So let me begin first with how it's necessary to buttress the climate change arguments, which are soundly based in science and in fact, but so far have not sufficiently affected capital flows to make you feel confident that the global climate change problem is being addressed in the right way by those who have the power to invest. There seem to me several routes through which it will be productive to make capital flow to meet everyday needs that are serious, urgent, and attractive to those who may not be completely accepting of the climate change science or maybe even skeptical. And they go like this. The first is that following the financial crisis and an extreme loss of confidence in many types of investment, we are entering a phase where institutional investors need to pay attention to real assets that produce strong revenue streams. The idea of focusing on real assets, whether it's property or infrastructure, makes sense whether you care about climate change or not. Finding reliable cash flow streams, the fundamentals of business, the fundamentals of global economic management, is essential. But for the last few years, it's been less attractive, on the whole, to many other types of investment that seemed more exciting, cleverer, promising better returns. Now I think we're in a space where real asset investment with strong cash flows is attractive for a number of reasons and nothing to do with climate change, but where there is a solid connection with the climate change problem. And you see it very clearly in property and infrastructure, but there are other asset classes that can be looked at that might be better able at picking up some of the other issues, which I'll get to in a moment, that are of concern to us all who care about climate change. So that's a trend that I think is happening anyway, and those who care about climate change investment and are interested in the returns that would come from it need to be very closely allied with the interests in that type of asset class and that sort of investment. The next buttress that we need, which we already have but isn't perhaps adequately exploited, is with the necessary investment in upgrading global energy systems. Energy demand is enormous and rising. And the space which I think investors need to look hard into to understand where scale investment is both necessary and possible, which does connect to people's everyday needs, is the relationship between energy, water, and food. We have greatly undervalued the connection between these two essential elements, three essential elements. But we've made a start at least in understanding the needs for the energy sector globally. You can approach those needs with resource depletion in mind, with efficiency in mind, or with climate change uppermost in your mind, and you get a pretty good Venn diagram of attractive investments that can be made for financial returns that are acceptable to institutional investors and do not require any trade-off between environmental outcome and economic return. So if you could do those two things in that first section, focus on real assets and their cash flows, focus on the nexus between energy, water and food, you carry an awful lot of the climate change debate which has got stuck at the international level, but where there are many initiatives happening at the national, local and city level, and you find a big enough and attractive enough investment space for those who have large amounts of capital to deploy. Now moving on, it's quite possible that you are somewhere in the world where you feel as if there's been a lack of progress in investing in clean technology or energy efficiency, and you're frustrated about that, and you see not very much capital flow these days. There are still plenty of unhappy stories of companies that raised money before the financial crisis but are now running out of it. There are lots of small businesses that are struggling to get access to debt, for example, to expand their businesses. But on the whole, we're talking about a marketplace that has the potential to be very large indeed. And the incumbents, who in some cases are really genuinely in the way in the energy sector, will be challenged by new technologies and businesses who feel confident enough to make a leap across from, say, telecoms or the internet business into energy. So I think you need to be encouraged that the transformation is underway. The technologies that we will require are quite well understood today, whether in solar or wind or smart grids. And I don't think you should despair that there has been a poor experience in many parts of the world in the investment in clean technology in recent times. In the end, those markets are going to be robust. They are attractive and they offer huge opportunity for businesses of all sizes. So let me finish off. That's too brief for the issues and ideas that are involved, but I just wanted to offer a confident message that those markets are going to be attractive at scale. But let me finish off with a third section, which is looking specifically at the Green Investment Bank in the UK. This is an institutional response designed to respond particularly to scale and capital flow problems in the UK. So I'll give you three areas that the Green Investment Bank Commission that I sat on focused on: offshore wind, large-scale energy efficiency in cities, and the rolling out of a smart grid. Now, there are three emblematic investments. They have public policy support. They meet climate change objectives in the long term. They provide employment opportunities in the short term. They can be seen as green economy growth strategies, and they require large amounts of capital now, which is not happening. We have institutional capacity in part, we have it in Treasury, we have it in other ministries, but we do not have them joined up, and we haven't built confidence that these investments can be made effectively with good returns, and so there is a market failure. We're now at the stage where all these bits and pieces are being contested, but there is still a very strong commitment at the top to create such an institution that is more than a facility inside Treasury to deploy money into, say, green infrastructure. This is going to be an attractive spot to look at for those outside this country. Other people do have development banks that do some of this work. This is a very clearly directed development bank focused on the environment and on long-term objectives of sustainability and carbon reduction. I'm confident we will get such an institution. I don't know quite yet what form it will take, but it has attracted some very able people to figure out the answers to those questions. And I commend the Green Investment Bank idea to you, and I hope that very shortly, in the next few months, we'll have something to show the world that will be impressive. Thank you.